Thank goodness, a meeting I didn't have to attend. I texted Jerry this week and I said, I was reading over one of the Psalms that I'm going to read today, and it had in there, "Wash me whiter than snow." And I said, "Jerry, that's an old hymn and we haven't heard it for a long time. Usually the only time we sing it is when?
Baptism.
And he said, and then he said, "Yes, we'll have to do more of that." And then I said, "You know, just like the old rugged cross, we only hear it at Easter." And he said, "Well, we'll have to do something about that." So thank you, Jerry. Huh? Well, welcome. I was hoping there'd be a fuller house this morning.
Amen.
I put a pamphlet in there, and I think it's good reading for everyone. So I'm going to set the pamphlets that I have left back there in the back, and hopefully those that didn't attend will grab one and read it. Are there any announcements? I just want to tell you, next Sunday is the last Sunday to put anything in the Heifer Project, coins, whatever. If you have a bag of change you want to get rid of, throw it in the container back there. Nance?
There's green tomatoes back there in bags. Anybody wants them to help themselves, that's right, green tomatoes.
Okay, all right. Oh, and another thing, the shoe boxes. If you ordered shoe boxes from me, your shoe boxes are back there. You can look through them, and when you do, please take your tag off because it has your name and what they put in your shoe boxes. And you can keep that or discard it because they have on there another tag that says what age group it's for. I just want to thank all of you. Right now there's, I think there's 40 boxes total back there, and there's four more coming. That's 44. So I think last year we had 50-something, didn't we? So we're doing good. We're doing good. And we know that, huh? What's the cutoff date to order the shoe boxes if you want them pre-made? If you want them pre-made by Weller Church, Sandy Fonstock does that for us, the 31st. If you're doing your own, I think they leave here the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I believe that's the Sunday. So you have to have them in by then. I had a list back there on the bench from her that what they put in if you want a guideline. But now just remember it's going to some countries that don't know what toothpaste is and stuff. So things like toothpaste you can't put in. You can put a toothbrush in, but you can't put toothpaste in. There's some other things. But if you want to use the Weller list of what they put in to give you an idea of things, because they put hygiene kits little hygiene things like soap, washcloth, and stuff in there. So.
Yeah, but just don't forget your Bible study Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here. This is a reminder. And also our Deacons Trustee meeting. We'll meet back here in the first Sunday school room on the left.
Yes. That's right after church. And we promise to try and not be so long, because when 12 o'clock hits, my tummy starts growling. So, and then
be able to hear what you're saying.
I know. And just ask Ralph what happens when I get hungry. I'm like that commercial with Aretha Franklin sitting in the back of the car. I'm hangry. Ralph doesn't want to be around me then. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Call to worship comes from Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13. And by the way, there's a praise song made from this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Sounds like we should give an amen to that, huh? All right, let's bow our heads for a brief prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning to give you glory, give you honor, and give you praise. And Father, we come to you to ask that you touch our hearts, that our hearts be in tune with you, Father, and that we know that even if we do fall from the path, we can get back on, because you gave us the way. The Father already had a perfect plan, and all we have to do is accept you, come to you, ask for forgiveness, and you will be sure to forgive us, Father, because you're a loving, generous Father. And we just thank you for all that you are, all that you do, and it is in Jesus' precious name we ask these favors and blessings. Amen. Okay, the first hymn is 328.
Grace this hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
it's time for sharing of joys and concerns. I see a joy back there again. Miss Dolores is with us again, so the Lord must be blessing her with a little more strength. Any joys or concerns?
Yeah, we had a joy yesterday, being able to have the Baker reunion. Mm-hmm. And we had probably every bit of 80 people there, and I think that was a joy that we were able to get together, and families don't do that much, and it was really good to have that time together.
No, they don't, and the sad part about it is that families don't realize their heritage of their families, what their families went through to raise their children, to be honored to them, and just fellowship.
Some cousins don't know who cousins are. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I sent Josh a picture last night, and he said, "Well, who's that? Who's that?" And I said, "That's too much to do now, texting this late. I'm tired." But no, it was a blessing. Who else? We need to put Frank on the prayer list. He fell, so we want to make sure that he recuperates. And Miss Pat, she has her struggles from time to time. Nancy?
It was a joy that George's Bonnie's husband's first eye surgery went well.
Yes, I
actually see a little bit,
I have him down here. I also have Wilton down here too. We need to keep Wilton in our prayers because he's going to have to go to another surgery, I believe. Carol? All right, we'll be doing, put Mom on the prayer list. Danny?
Peter's family on the prayer list has been a joy. Caleb made it back to California safely, and he had a good time, so.
That's wonderful. Caleb had a bit of struggle getting back there, but the Lord seen that he got there. Bradley?
Just want to thank God for making a way for my brother Phil to be able to get his stent operation.
Good.
Next month. Today, it would seem like it went so quickly. We'll be married 46 years today.
Congratulations.
It hasn't been easy for two people who sometimes can be at odds. God can still make it work out. And but by the grace of God, Myra has to be patient, didn't she?
Okay, who else? Frank?
I'd like to, I know there's numerous ones that we forget. The Lord knows who they are, so I'm saying the Lord continue to bless them and heal them. And also, keep our country of America on our prayers, because it sure has been falling away from the will of God, and also the world in total, the leaders of each and every one of us. We can bring them together, brothers and sisters. We would not have to fear war and problems in this situation that takes place here in the world.
And that needs plenty of prayer on each of our behalfs. It needs plenty of prayer. Any others?
Our election coming up in November.
Yes.
May the Lord have a guiding hand under that.
And I did read that there are more and more, because usually, you know, the older Christians, they didn't get involved in political elections. But more and more, I think they're coming to know, hey, we pray, but we also, God gave us that right to vote, and we should, you know, do it.
Certainly have to pray about it.
Yes. Any others? All right. It's a blessing to hear little ones talking too, isn't it? Puts life back into these old walls. All right. Let's come before the Lord however you see fit. If you can kneel or sit, however. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, here we are. Another Sunday has gone by. We came to your house to give you honor, glory, and praise for all the many blessings all the answer prayers that we've had in this past week. And yes, Lord, there have been many. Father, help us to be ever mindful of when you speak to us, let us hear. When you move us in a certain, point us to a certain direction, let us follow. Father, now the list is long as usual. And Father, we lift each one up to you for healing. We lift up George and Wilton and Frank and Pat and Doris and the Peters family, the Baker family, Bob and Linda, Brad's brother Phil. The list goes on. There's many among us that are sick and weak, many that are downtrodden. And most of all, Father, there are many that know you not. That's sad, Father. Help us to do something about that. Help us to open these doors, go out in the community, and spread the good news of Jesus. Father, we think of the joys, like the reunion, where there's fellowship among relatives that haven't seen each other in years, that they can renew old acquaintances and tell stories. Father, we thank you for the joy of Sister Dolores being able to make it for two Sundays, for she struggles with her health as well. We think of Caleb as he headed back to his duty. We ask that you would watch over Caleb, keep him safe. Watch over Kyle and Ian and Elijah. Father, you put a bubble around them. Keep them protected. Father, we think of Brad's anniversary. What a blessing. Father, we think of Faye and Steve that are traveling this morning, and we just ask that you give them safe travels. Return them home safely. Father, we think of our country. We don't have to tell you. You already know. You already see. You already hear all that is going on, Father. Help us as your children to stand strong on your word and not bend like a blade of grass when it comes to issues that do not line up with your teachings. Help us to help our families to follow you. Father, we think of the election coming up, and we ask that you have your hand upon all, that it be fair election. And Father, we just ask that it, like in the days of old, when you selected people to be your disciples or do your will, we ask that you put good, godly Christian men and women in place so that we can get this country back to what it was founded on you. For after all, that's what they came to this new world for, so that they would have a free right to worship and honor you. Father, we think of our directory. We just lift each family up that's represented there, that they may want to come back, that they may get a strong desire to come hear your word, to worship you. Father, we think of the young parents in that directory that have young children. Oh, Father, it's heavy on my heart. These young children need to learn your word, to know your ways. And what better way to do that is to have them in your house. Father, for when they grow up and they go out into the world, especially the school system, they're going to hear all kinds of untruths and see all kinds of ways that are not yours. So, Father, that is one of my most asked for prayers for guidance for our church family. Father, now we just thank you for this church that we can come here and worship this morning. And I just ask that you would be with me, that you would let the words, your words, flow freely, because without you I am nothing. Without you I know nothing. So, Father, I just ask that your words flow freely through me today, and that each and every one of us here know that we are sinners. We're not above that creeping into our lives. It happens. But Father, through you and your saving grace, we have a way out. Father, now we just unite our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. Now we can do hymn number 172. 172. Be a sermon title for today, Is Thy Heart Right with God? The Lord really works. The hymns that Jerry picked were perfect for today. The scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 and then goes through to chapter 2 verses 1 through 2. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, I knew I was going to stumble over that, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Amen. The sermon title is Sin is a Short Word with a Long Sentence. And I don't think it means a written sentence. It means a sentence as when you get convicted and you're put in jail. You have to serve your sentence. Brothers and sisters, do you remember the days of old when you came to church on a Sunday morning and the preacher was all fired up? I remember many times Brother Schilt would go, bam, down on that pulpit. Now, I don't know if he was trying to make a point of what he just said or if he was trying to wake up Orville Black in the back. I don't know. But I kind of think that he was trying to make a point. Well, they were hitting on all the major truths in God's Word. As I was putting this message together, I thought about those elders, like Brother Schilt, Garnet Myers when he came to preach, and dear Brother Don. They always had fiery, they had fiery sermons they gave because it was from here. And you know, after those sermons, some days I left here with my heart felt, it fell under conviction. And I'm sure you remember those days when you had to tiptoe out of the church, especially if you had your high heels on or your boots because your toes was hurting, because the word was stepping on them. You know, it's good. It's good to have your everybody needs their toes stepped on once in a while. Yeah, keeps us in line. Sadly, brothers and sisters, these types of sermons are a thing of the past. We don't want to offend anybody. But I'm here to say I would rather be offended and be set right with my Lord, not be separated from Him because of my sin. We all should feel that way. Sadly, most unbelievers out there take offense. So what we do is we just pray for them. We pray that their heart will be touched. Let us take a look at some of the sinners in God's Word. Now, I know you know who I picked right off, King David. He was a man of God's own heart. But was he free from sin? Let's see. We're going to the book of Samuel. And by the way, you know, some of us aren't as well taught in the Word. We try our best. And if we are well taught and we know it, we should never make a brother or sister feel like they're not up to par. That's not what God intends. If he can take somebody like Peter that probably never read the word and make him into his disciple, then we're all worthy. Let's keep that in mind. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king, with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. There was his first mistake. He didn't go like most kings go with their men out to war. He stayed behind, probably resting up a little bit. But what's it say about idle hands? Idle hands, and we'll see what happens to David. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Well, we all know what happened next. He took Bathsheba. You don't just sin one time, usually. Sin produces sin. You do one sin, what do you got to do? You got to do another sin to cover up the sin you already did. So, he took Bathsheba. Then he sinned, he lied. He lied, tried to cover it up. And when that didn't work, what did he do? He had her husband put in the front line, and assuredly being in the front line, you're going to be killed. So David actually committed murder. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that wasn't the end. No way. Remember, God knows all. And God loved David, just as he loves you and I. And we're going to sin just like David. Maybe not to that extent, but I'm here to tell you, I got a confession to make, and my husband will tell you, Friday night, I didn't feel much like being worthy to be behind this pulpit. I lost my temper at the grocery store. I'm still from the old school. I can do new things, but I'm from the old school. I want service. If I'm there, the customer, I want to be served. I don't get a paycheck from that store, but I didn't let it go there. I came out to the car. Of course, I was tired. My back ached from yard work and got in the, loaded the groceries in the car, and I'm on and on and on about Wise Market, and Ralph's just sitting over there, and I see him thinking. And he didn't say anything, but I knew he thought, Deb, let it go. In fact, I think you told me that. No, he, you know what he told me? You got to play the game. So, but I did a disservice to my Lord because I lost my temper. And I kept on going. You know, Jesus lost his temper too, but he didn't keep on going. You know, he came back. So Friday night, what did I have to do? I had to, before I went to bed, I had to ask for him to forgive me and just try to help me do better. But anyway, let's look at Samuel, chapter 12. Nathan rebukes David. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He had raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food. It drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare the meal for the traveler who had to come. Instead, he took that little ewe lamb from the poor man and prepared it for one who had come to him. When Nathan told David this, David burned with anger against that man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over. He did such a thing and had no pity. Nathan said to David, can you imagine being in David's shoes? Nathan looked right at him and he said, David, you are that man. David eventually reaped what he sowed. But more importantly, he offered a true confession of his sin to the Lord. Verse 13, it says, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. When we look in Psalms 51, David wrote that after his encounter with Nathan. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to pick some verses. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge me. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 7. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Now I have a comment, David Jeremiah's commentary Bible, and I want you to play, just listen to this and ponder what it says. It says, David offers us a portrait of true confession in Psalm 51. The psalm he wrote in response to Nathan's confrontation, confession is simply saying, get that, confession is simply saying out loud what we have done and what God says about it. Notice in Psalm 51 all the words David uses for sin, transgressions, iniquity, sin, evil. We can never really know the forgiveness of God until first of all we experience the genuineness of confession. As long as we justify our sin, we will not consider ourselves in need of forgiveness. But in being honest about our sin, we can fully receive God's forgiveness as David did. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. You know, I heard, I can't remember, I don't know if it was Pastor John Hagee. I can't remember which pastor I heard on the TV here a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, this country is in bad shape. Not, this is Deb's words, but this is the gist of what I got from him. He's probably got a wider vocabulary than me. He said this country's in bad shape. And one of the reasons is, years ago, when we sinned, we were, you know, we were humble about it because we knew we did wrong. But he said, today's world dances in the street with pride. Yeah. He said, and that's not what God wants or is about. And, you know, when I was reading that, I thought about that. I thought about what that minister said. It just popped in my mind. So brothers and sisters, there again, David sinned, but he came to the Lord, asked for forgiveness, and the Lord knows when your heart's right. The Lord knows when you truly are sorrowful and you know, feel bad about your actions. Let us jump ahead to the New Testament and check on Saul. He was a character, wasn't he? Even had his name changed. Saul was all about persecution of the followers of the way. Now, the early Christians, that's the title Paul and them gave him, the way. Well, I'm here to tell you, I like the way. So Saul, he was about persecution of the Christians. He didn't want anything, he didn't like them. So, in chapter 9, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there, men or women, who belonged to the way, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Do you think the Lord's going to put up with that? Do you think he's going to put a stop to that? Let's read on. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said. I always have trouble with that part. He said, who are you, Lord? And I'm thinking, well, he persecutes Christians. How does he get this voice as Lord? That he don't even know the Lord. But it's in here. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now we all know what he did. Well, first of all, what happened to Saul when the lightning from the sky, from the Lord, from his connection there with Jesus, he ended up being blind, didn't he? So, he said, you go into here, this town, and I'll tell you what you need to do. So Jesus went to Ananias, you know, through talking, not one-on-one. He's here, and Ananias is here, but the Lord came to him and said, you need to go take care of Paul. You need to tell him what I want him to know. And did Ananias want to do that? No, because he was scared to death of Paul and his followers. He was a little bit like Jonah. Want to run off and jump on a boat and not go to Nineveh. But he did. He did what the Lord asked him to do. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name unto the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. You know, it's odd that when we think about it, it's odd for Jesus to take someone that was as been against hurting people as Saul, and he says in there he's chosen instrument for his service. So if he can use Saul, brothers and sisters, he can use each one of you and me. Let's skip ahead to, well, back, not back, not ahead, back. John 8, verses 1 through 11. You guys are all probably familiar with this scripture. This is one of my favorite scripture, by the way. Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" Now, you know what they're about. They want to tangle Jesus up to make him look like double-minded, not worthy, just somebody calls in trouble. But you know our Jesus. They were using this sentence as a trap in order to have the basis of for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. At last, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now, leave your life of sin." I will repeat that sentence. Put that in your heart and ponder on it. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus is quick to forgive, but we sinners are also held accountable. We're accountable to do our best to live a pure and godly life that is pleasing to the Father. Is that going to be easy? No. But if Jesus hung on that cross and did a cruel death that he went through for us, he had no sin to cover our sin, we can surely try. There are many other examples of sin in God's word. There's lying, there's cheating, there's anger. That has Deb's name behind. Jealousy, sexual immorality, murder, the list goes on. There's many sins. It's my hope this morning that I have made you aware of how easily sin can creep into our lives. We should be ever mindful of what we do and what we say. You know, some fool themselves by thinking they have come to an understanding with the Lord regarding their sin. My dear brothers and sisters, I don't believe that I've ever read that in his word, that it mentions of him making deals or turning a blind eye. I don't remember. Now, my memory is not too good, so if you can find a scripture that it says he makes understanding deals with your sin or he turns his eye to your sin, you come show me. And I'll stand behind this pulpit and I'll say that I made a mistake. But I don't think I've read that. So in closing, my dear friends, if you leave here today with your toes hurting a little, it's okay. It knows that there's a Holy Spirit still living in you. Because, you know, it can be taken. It can leave. It thinks, well, if they're going to be following Satan all this time, I'm going to go another place. So if your toes are hurting, it's okay. Now I lost my place. What do you think about that? Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice when he died a horrific death on the cross to cover our sins. Aren't you glad that the Father took care of the debt? All we're required to do when we stumble is come to him, ask for forgiveness, and truly mean that in our hearts, and do the best to go and sin no more. You know, that reminds me of an old hymn that I used to play with the guitar. Christ paid a debt he did not owe, I owed a debt I could not pay, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Now, with that being said, I'm going to let Sister Teresa come up, who's a much better singer, and favor us with a tune. Did you say amen, Brad? I'm coming back there. There it goes, anger again. I was going to come back there and slap him. Is my stuff in your way? Okay, I'm just going to let it hear then. Sniffles?
Yeah, I do too. Especially when I'm out in this fall.
Yeah. I think so.
To shine, but
every time I hear that song, whether it be in the car or what, it always gets to me. Are your chains gone? Have we come to the Father and confessed to Him so that we can be free? A short word with a long sentence. Sin is a short word with a long sentence. Sin can sneak into our lives fast. And yes, we live constantly. And yes, if we live constantly in sin, we are apt to serve a long and lasting sentence. I don't want to, do you? But we as Christians have hope. That's what makes us different than others. We have hope in knowing that our sentence can be pardoned. If we confess our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us. Yep, it's that easy. Seems too easy, doesn't it? Let us pray. Dear Lord, You know each and every heart that is present this morning. If there be any here that are feeling the tug of Your tug this morning, may they come humbly to seek You and Your will for their lives. If they are struggling with sin, give them Your spiritual strength to help them with the battle over Satan and his pernicious ways. Thank You, Father, for hearing our request this morning, and thank You, Father, for Your plan of salvation. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Okay, Jerry.
Thank you.
Now, Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.